insurrection, obstruction, indictments, civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on election day and still be elected commander-in-chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his property. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late. Welcome back to Liberal Band Radio. Off from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, area code 914-803-4131. That is 914-803-4131. If you want to join the conversation, just make sure, via the phone, make sure to come over to liberalbandradio.com, which is the YouTube channel. Come join the live chat. Leave your area code and name in the chat so we can make sure we know who you are when I'm switching over to you. You can also join us in the YouTube chat on liberaldanradio.com or over on twitch.tv/liberaldanradio. Those are the two chats that we follow. If you're on the Blog Talk Radio chat, we don't really pay much attention to that. We just use it as a soundboard. So come on over to those two sites as well and come join the fun over there. If you're haven't subscribed yet on YouTube, it's free to do so. Like the video, share videos, comments on videos, like other videos, drive those algorithms up. Al Gore wants you to drive up his rhythms if you're on Twitch. Also, if you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe, follow and subscribe for free. It makes me a little extra money, doesn't cost you anything, or you can also help the show out by gifting Twitch subscriptions, subscribing yourself that way. You can gift memberships on YouTube, do super chats, super stickers, all that other fun stuff. You can buy me a cider by going to liberaldan.com, clicking the buy me a cider button, or go to buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio. Venmo me, Liberal Dan, just do friends and family because you're not buying anything, or become a Liberal Dan Radio patron. Support me once a month for as little as $5. You'll get to have a say on certain things that go on in the show. You'll get early access to bits when I get them done early, and other goodies that come along with being a patron, as well as supporting the show and helping me out. So all that good stuff. That's all the most important thing is we're trying to get. We're at 880 right now with subscribers on YouTube. We need 120 more to reach the point of where we'll get advertising revenue on top of the other revenues that we can get. So that's the next big thing. So make sure to share videos, especially videos like the once my cough gets better, my voice gets totally better, I'll go back to making the case for Joe Biden, case against Donald Trump videos, some other videos. We have Fat Man rants that are out there to go share with people, other videos that are out there to share. Drive the subscriptions up to tell them, you know, hey, there's this channel out there who's trying to do his best to help make a difference in the 2024 elections and beyond. So give him a subscribe. As Trucker John says, I'm the best talk show out there on the internet. That's Trucker John's words, not mine. So I will lovingly take the Trucker John endorsement, as well as, you know, all the other people who do love and support the show, and I love y'all back as well. Benny Loco. Hey, just speaking of Trucker John is in the chat. We got Benny Loco as well. Got the Mod Squad, Aaron and Jolie, who I couldn't do the show without because their help is awesome. We got Steve from across the pond, Nick Rich, who loves my Fat Man rants, Salarasia, Who else am I missing currently? I think I've seen everybody who's chatted in the chat room so far. So welcome, everybody. Glad you can join in. Thank you to everybody who's a patron. Thank you to everybody who has subscribed, who's a member, who's done super chats, who's followed and subscribed for free with Amazon over on Twitch, etc. Y'all are great and awesome, and I appreciate you as well. Appreciate you, Harry KP. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much. So yesterday was Super Tuesday, and we've got what everyone expected, which is to nobody's surprise, is that it's going to be Joe Biden versus Donald Trump, as everybody could have told you for the last 3 years that this election was going to be Joe Biden versus Donald Trump, because Donald Trump was never going to let this go, and Joe Biden, as the incumbent, is the presumptive nominee, despite the fact that some people don't want him to be. Oh, well, there's several different things to talk about when it comes to that. One of the things, as it pertains to the primaries, a lot of people are complaining about or making a big deal about, I should say, the undecided, the non-committed, uncommitted, or no preference votes, however they word it in whatever particular state they happen to be in. For example, Michigan had a large uncommitted vote that came out. There was a big push for uncommitted to come out and vote against Joe Biden because of the way he's treated the war between Israel and Hamas. So everyone's making a big deal about it because they were able to get 10% of the vote or 13% of the vote or whatever it was. Well, again, looking at 2012, as we discussed previously on the show, Obama also had about the same amount of people who came out and put in that they were uncommitted. So par for the course. Massachusetts came out about 9-point-something% of the vote yesterday came out uncommitted for Joe Biden. And everyone's making a big stink. Oh, uncommitted or no preference or however it's worded in Massachusetts. It's a big, terrible deal that Joe Biden has to deal with before the election. Well, if you go look at the 2012 election, Obama had more people as a percentage that came out and voted no preference in the Massachusetts primaries. And if you then go look at the 1996 primaries, the last time you had an incumbent president running for reelection, i.e. Bill Clinton in Massachusetts, you had a lower percentage of people voting not committed or no preference, but you also had a slightly higher bunch of people voting for like Lyndon LaRouche as a minor Democratic challenger to Bill Clinton's presidency, which the total amount of that total added up to about 10%. So in a lot of these states, you often will see about 10 to 15% of the people coming out and voting no preference. So if the difference between what the normal was between, you know, what normally comes out and votes not committed or uncommitted or no preference or however each state words it, if the normal was here and the amount that was voting for Joe Biden was up here, I would say, yes, we have a huge problem because of the uncommitted votes or the people who are voting in protest because of their issues with the non-committed. But no, it's no different than any other election. It just happens to be that the people who are doing it this year have a reason behind them that they're being vocal about. Whereas in previous years, those same people who might come out and vote uncommitted didn't necessarily have one central reason to hang their hats on to say, this is why we're doing it. So I really don't understand why the media is making that big of a stink about it. Because if you go look, and all these different races. It's almost the same thing every year. So it's a big much ado about nothing. Not that the Hamas war between Israel and Hamas is nothing, but the whole non-committed vote is not as drastic as everyone is making it out to be. Meanwhile, you have the de facto incumbent, Donald Trump, who's not getting 30% or more of the votes in all of the states. He lost New Hampshire. He lost D.C., which, I mean, two small electorates, but still he lost those two. He beat, you know, Haley 2-1 in Colorado. He beat Haley roughly 2-1 in Virginia. But that's still a third of the state that has come out and voted against him in the primary. Now, in some circumstances, you have the situation where you have Democrats and, you know, left-leaning independents who could skip the Democratic primary and just go vote in the Republican primary just to cause shenanigans. But in other reasons, you have basically 1 in 10, and from exit polls, 1 in 10 people who voted for Donald Trump last time are not voting for Donald Trump this time. He's lost 10% of his votes from 2020. And if he got, what, 73 million, was it? Because Biden got 81 million. Trump got 73 million. So 10%, 1 in 10, that's 7.3 million people who are not planning on coming out to vote for Donald Trump this time. So that's huge for Donald Trump. I don't know what those numbers, I don't know if those numbers are anywhere similar for Joe Biden, but it would have to be almost double that for Biden to be having a huge problem come the fall. Now, granted, that is nationwide, and you have to also take into consideration the fact that you have swing states. But we're going to be talking about some of those swing states and some of the potentially new swing states in a second. But one of my beefs, again, with the whole media thing is they're making much ado about nothing with this idea of these uncommitted votes that are coming out, because, again, they are not anything significantly more than what previous incumbent Democratic presidents have had to deal with. And in some cases, like in Massachusetts, it's less. And like in Massachusetts, it was like 100,000, I forget, it was Massachusetts, whatever, 100,000 people came out and voted uncommitted or whatever, but like Nikki Haley had like, maybe this was Michigan, Nikki Haley had like 230,000 voted for her. Like, it's great. Like, Trump, I think, has much bigger problems facing him from the primary, voting-wise, let alone money-wise. And people aren't really talking that much about the money issues that Trump is having, because Trump is spending all of the money on his legal fees, and he's not going to have a lot of money to spend on himself, let alone to support down-ticket races. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is probably going to have the most successful fundraising campaign of any presidential campaign in the history of presidential campaigns. So, and while money's not everything, you need to get the votes out. It's much easier to get the votes out if you can fund a well-funded campaign. So if you want some sparks of hope coming out of yesterday and to start this conversation, because later on we're going to be talking about other things that you need to still worry about, there's your sparks of hope coming from me. We're going to still have things that you need to worry about and still think, you know, don't count all your chickens. Don't make sure that you don't, you know, just rest on your laurels. Don't say, oh, well, we have nothing to worry about. We have plenty to worry about, and we'll get to that in a second. But just if you want things that are positive to think about, those are some positive things to think about, especially when people are trying to make you think that all of these uncommitted votes are somehow a big warning sign for Biden. They're, you know, they should be. Biden should pay attention to them. Biden should, of course, look and see if he can gain any of those back as much as possible. But again, it's not anything above what normal incumbent Democratic presidential candidates have to deal with. Period. That, no. I almost hit the wrong thing. I almost hit the wrong button. Let's see. Trump thinks that the old guard will come to Papa as usual. Maybe he thinks that. Who knows? But, you know, Trump thinks a lot of things that are not true either. Trump thinks a lot of things that are crazy. And Trump is crazy in and of itself. And Trump, you know, Trump has a lot of issues that really have been coming out. All of his, if you watch Rachel Maddow on Monday, if you haven't watched Rachel Maddow on Monday, I highly recommend that you go watch Rachel Maddow on Monday. Because she covered a lot of things that are very important to deal with, especially with one of the things that I'm going to be talking about. But Rachel Maddow's show on Monday was, I even haven't finished watching it yet, but from what I've seen so far, there are tons of stuff that Maddow talked about on Monday that really is important and really needs to be taken into consideration. Anywho, let's get into some of the other things from the chat. More and more is coming out about loose pharmaceuticals in the Trump White House. That's definitely a story that I do want to get into more because I have heard a bunch of stuff about how Trump, how the Trump White House, you know, and the pharmacy at the Trump White House was basically a pill mill. See, what did Steve say? What is that? Steve said something. I'm trying to scroll up and see. It's a song about Celia Back for the 60s Michael Caine movie, Alfie. What's it all about, Alfie? I think I've seen that. Yeah. Or heard about that. Oh, Kalahela. But Dan, he lost America Samoa. Oh, did Biden lose America Samoa? I noticed that. I guess Samoans are too busy doing the Humpty Hump to worry about it. Samoans, I do the Humpty Hump. I do the Humpty Hump. Anyway. Wes, even if you're not a Rachel Maddow fan, the show on Monday is definitely something that you should absolutely watch. Totally. You should totally watch Monday's show because it was definitely something that should be watched. Wow. I have a bunch of stuff that needs to be deleted on my thing before I try and record anything else. Let's see. That definitely needs to go. My laptop has too much stuff on it. Let me take care of that real quick before I try and record anything else for uploading later. There we go. Anyway, there we go. That should do it. That should cover it. Wes, I can't stay awake. You should be able to Google it or find it on YouTube or something or what have you. Anyway, back to reality. Yeah, I got plenty of free space now. Good. I almost inadvertently clicked the stop streaming button, and that was not good. So, got a gigantic water today to keep the palate wet and moist. Anywho, so what else did we have going on? We had Kristen Sinema, who dropped out. So that is a good news for Democrats. because Kristen Sinema being in that race with a Democrat and wacko crazy herself over in Arizona meant it was more likely that wacko crazy herself was going to be able to win. So hopefully this means that the Democrats will be able to technically pick up a seat, and it'll switch from independent to Democrat, because holy crap, she's awful. And even Sinema is kind of awful too, for all the times that she sided with conservatives against Biden on certain things. And I'll be glad to see her go. You know, for a while I was happy to see her elected, you know, an openly bisexual woman, openly someone who is going to be out there representing a state who that is a swing state, who is going to be, you know, out there. You know, she was originally a Democrat, but then she flipped independent because, you know, she's a special snowflake. And then she's, you know, I don't know. She's just going against her own best interest and going against the best interest of the people who put her into office. So hopefully we're going to have somebody representing Arizona who's going to be supporting the Democrats and hopefully supporting Biden once they become elected. Of course, the Senate is the problem, is the risk here, is because the Senate races don't look as good as they could for the Democratic Party. One thing that could be good for the Democrats, though, is the fact that you had Adam Schiff, who very smartly ran ads in his campaign, taking advantage of the fact that you had a primary where Trump voters were going to come out in the primary to support Trump against Nikki Haley. So he started running ads berating Steve Garvey, a former pitcher of the Dodgers, for being such a horrible Trump supporter, for supporting Trump twice. And of course, him attacking Steve Garvey for supporting Trump twice got Steve Garvey on the radar of the Trump supporters, who was like, oh, well, I guess I should support him too, since I'm out there voting. And so instead of it being Katie Porter versus Adam Schiff in the runoff, because California does jungle primaries where you have everybody running, all the Democrats and Republicans and independents and whoever run in one race. The top two go to the general election if nobody hits 50% plus one. And then the top two go and the winner gets, the winner takes all in the runoff. So Adam Schiff smartly ran his campaign in such a way that made sure that the person he would be running against would be a Republican who would have no chance of winning California in the fall. Meanwhile, Katie Porter is hella mad about this. Why is Katie Porter hella mad about this? Well, because she felt that he was de facto funding a Republican campaign, making it harder for her to win. But this is not something that he came up with by himself. You had other Democrats who have done this in the past, who have done it to great success. You had what's her face from Missouri, the senator from Missouri, Claire McCaskill, used to do this in Missouri all the time. She would run ads for herself that would berate the most extreme Republican opponent for being so horrible as a Republican opponent. Like, she wouldn't run ads against her Democratic opponent. She would run ads against her horrible Republican opponent, so that the more moderate Republican would lose and the more extreme Republican would win the primary, and then it would be her against the extremist, and she would be more likely to win. That was, of course, back when Missouri was a swing state and a Democrat could win. So this isn't just Adam Schiff's, as Donald Trump would say, shifty idea all by himself that they came with. This is a tried and true tactic of supporting the more extreme candidate who you think you could beat in the fall, and attacking that person, meanwhile getting their supporters out to support them so that in the fall you have a better chance of winning. He was smart. He did a good job. And while, again, Katie Porter thinks that this was bad because it didn't allow her to get, didn't allow her the opportunity to have the chance to be able to go into the runoff, into the general election, to get herself in front of the voters, to make her case against Adam Schiff one-on-one, a lot of people who are Democrats are thinking that this is a relief that this is going on, because since it's California and since Steve Garvey has no shot in hell of winning the state of California's senatorial election, Adam Schiff is going to probably slide into it very easily. You now have the situation where any money that would be spent by Adam Schiff to try and beat, Katie Porter can now be spent trying to support other Democrats in other races, other Senate races, other House races. Now, Katie Porter is making the argument that if you would have had two Democrats running in the race, perhaps you would have had more of a chance of helping down ticket Democrats who are trying to win down ticket races, because now that you don't have a competitive Senate race and you don't have a competitive presidential race, it makes it less likely that people are going to come out. But that doesn't mean that now Adam Schiff can go out there and say, well, I'm the de facto person who's going to be winning. Now he can go campaign for those candidates in California and help them win. He can spend that money to help those candidates win and do more targeted get-out-the-vote efforts to get those candidates the win in those swing districts in California and beyond. So ultimately, at the end of the day, I mean, I don't dislike Katie Porter. I think Katie Porter is a good person to have in Congress. I think she'll remain a good person in Congress. I just think she's mad. Maybe she's mad she didn't think of it first. Maybe she's, don't hate the player, hate the game, so to speak. But I think at the end of the day, I think this is a good move for Adam Schiff, and it's a good move for the Democrats because it's going to allow them to free up more money to be able to spend against other Republicans in other areas so that Democrats in those areas can be more competitive. So is California one step away from ranked choice voting? I don't know if they're going to go that way yet. It's funny because Alaska, a more conservative state, went for ranked choice voting. And Sarah Palin was very upset about that fact because, it's even better than open primaries. We should all go to ranked choice voting, which allows us to get people like, so let's say in ranked choice voting, Katie Porter might have actually had a chance to make the runoff or to actually win, potentially. You never know. Because in ranked choice voting, it's possible, that all of those third place people could have come up and all maybe swung Katie Porter's way and raised Katie Porter up above Garvey at that point. So Katie, ranked choice voting might have been better for Katie Porter. But I don't know, a lot of people seem to push back against it. I don't know why. I know why Republicans vote against it, because it allows the people to actually have their say, and it makes it so that the least popular candidate doesn't win. For example, if you finish second in the first round of runoffs, it's possible that like the third, fourth, or fifth place people could like start bumping off, could start raising up in the polls if everybody votes, let's say somebody comes in last, but everybody else who voted, for their first choice candidate, everybody votes for their favorite candidate. So you have the person who comes in first, and then let's say you have in Alaska, you have like a Sarah Palin. So fine, so you have first and second. and Sarah Palin comes in second at the end of the first tallying of the votes. But then let's say everybody else's ballots other than Sarah Palin has Sarah Palin dead last. She's the least popular candidate of everybody in the race. Ranked choice voting makes it so that Sarah Palin never gets elected. A runoff system, like a jungle primary type system, Sarah Palin has a shot of getting elected because you then go to a next election, and in the next election, you could have a different turnout, and then that's a whole different ballgame. Whereas in ranked choice voting, it's the same turnout for everybody, and you just weed people out as their ranks go away, so to speak. So, Wes, and this way you make the GOP spend money. Yes, and the GOP is not going to have a lot of money to spend because you're going to have Donald Trump putting in Lara Trump, his daughter-in-law in charge of the GOP. She's going to make sure that the GOP money is going to be spent paying his legal bills, so he doesn't have to spend money on his legal bills, and they're not going to have money to fund their congressional races. They're not going to have money to fund their senatorial races. I mean, maybe the Republican National Republican Senatorial Committee and the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, maybe those two will have some funds to be able to play around with. But if the RNC is spending all their money defending Donald Trump in court, they're not going to be able to run an effective campaign, which is good news for everybody else. But again, let's see. Wes, if your candidate doesn't win in the primary, you just stay home. That's not necessarily true, Wes, because I've had situations where I've had my favorite candidate. I vote for the favorite candidate in the primary system in Louisiana's jungle primaries. That person didn't make it. And then in a runoff, I voted for the lesser of two evils, because, you know, I didn't want the other person winning. Bill M., Schiff spent more money on Garvey's campaign than Garvey did. I mean, technically he didn't spend any money on Garvey's campaign. Technically, he spent money on his own campaign. It's just that a lot of his commercials mentioned Garvey, but he did it in a way where he didn't have to count it as a hey, I'm paying. This is not a Garvey campaign ad. This is an anti-Garvey campaign ad paid for by Adam Schiff. It just so happened to be that as you say these anti-Garvey things to Democrats, they sound anti-Garvey. To liberals and leftists and anybody left of center, they sound anti-Garvey. To people who are Trump supporters, they're like, well, gosh darn it, this Garvey guy sounds good to me. I'm gonna vote for him. And did I miss something earlier? I think I saw something out of the corner of my eye that said somebody had somebody's birthday and somebody was turning 69. Aaron West, my mom is turning 69 in 5 days. That means she's turning around. But I don't have my thing set up with my whatchamacallit because it doesn't work well at Blog Talk Radio. We have 31 viewers on you, 32 viewers on YouTube, and only 20 likes. So please make sure to smash that like button if you haven't done so already. Drive those Al Gore rhythms up. You might not think Al Gore has rhythm, but he does, and you need to drive it up. The more you hit that like button, the more Al Gore has rhythm. So smash that like button, and then the patriarchy. Bottom half of the hour, Liberal Dan Radio, Talk From Left, That's Right, Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central here on LiberalDanRadio.com, which is the link to the YouTube channel, or on Twitch.tv/LiberalDanRadio. Either way will get you to the show. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe to the Twitch channel for free. It doesn't cost you anything. It does help me out. You can help the show out, most importantly, by subscribing to the channel if you've not already done so. Share videos, comment on videos, like videos, comment to other people's comment, respond to them, interact with people, get the algorithms going. Get Al Gore dancing. Have him do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight, etc. So, no Dan, she has to eat it. Nice. But there is one thing that I know Nick Rich has been waiting for that I promised Nick Rich. Hold on, let me I need to pull this up first. And where is this? Is it this? Is this the one? No, it's that, but hold on. That's not the one I want. I want to do this, though. And then it's this. There you go. Thank you, Aaron, for becoming a member, becoming a liberal Danimal for your second month. Get down. Get up. Get down. Get up. Get on up. Sorry. So anyway, so Fat Man Rant. What am I Fat Man ranting about? The live Fat Man Rant. Let me start the recording first because we need to record when we do a Fat Man Rant. And let me also pull this of these my notes up. Make sure that I have so earlier in the show, I talked about all the things we have to look forward to and the things that are positives from the yesterday. But what's the negative from yesterday? What is a big negative from yesterday? Well, we have Democrat Josh Stein, which is good, a nice Jewish boy in North Carolina, who is going to be facing off against Mark Robinson, the current lieutenant governor of North Carolina. Mark Robinson is a Holocaust denier. Mark Robinson is an anti-Semite. Mark Robinson is terrible. Mark Robinson is the example of an individual that I use basically to show why we cannot let Republicans gain a single inch of power in this country anymore. Why do I say this? Well, let's look at the Advocate. Let's see, 13 of the most batshit things North Carolina Republican governor candidate Mark Robinson has said. Reading from the Advocate, the man representing the North Carolina Republican Party is a Holocaust denier who has often compared homosexuality to pedophilia. Former Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson emerged victorious from the state's primaries Tuesday, securing the Republican nomination for governor in the upcoming general elections. His anti-LGBTQ+, anti-Semitic, anti-woman, and anti-science extremist is apparently the best the party has to offer in the great state of North Carolina. Let's see some of the things that he said. Robinson said earlier this month during a campaign speech that transgender women should be arrested for using women's bathrooms, adding at another event that they should find a corner outside somewhere. If you're confused, find a corner outside somewhere to go. We're not tearing down society because of this, Mark Robinson said. Mark Robinson said, it's time to start reading quotes from Hitler and Stalin. Robinson was speaking in front of a Moms for Liberty Blessings of the Liberty breakfast in July last year. Instead of criticizing the conservative group for quoting Hitler in their June newsletter, he said, it's time to start reading quotes from fascist strongmen like Hitler and Stalin. Whenever you're talking about Adolf Hitler, whether you're talking about Chairman Mao, about Stalin, about Pol Pot, whether you're talking about Castro in Cuba, whether you're talking about a dozen other despots around the globe, it's time for us to get back and start reading some of those quotes, he said. What else has this fine, upstanding gentleman from North Carolina said? Once a woman is pregnant, it's not her body anymore. despite later confessing that he and his wife had an abortion early in their relationship, Robinson said that in 2021 that once a woman is pregnant, it's not her body anymore. He also disagrees with exceptions for rape and incest in abortion bans, implying that victims of assault deserved what happened to them under survival of the fittest Darwin theory. Remember, North Carolina is a state that, despite the fact that the state is actually supportive of abortion rights, even though it being a southern state, you had a Democrat who swung around and turned coat and voted for a anti-abortion measure to criminalize abortion in the state. He goes, you know what the argument reminds me of? It reminds me of the argument about seatbelts, he told the East Carolinian. I can always remember there would be one person who would say, what if I get stuck on a railroad track so my seatbelt won't come off? Number one, if you're stuck on the tracks, that is Darwin. That's none of my concern. That is Darwin. I cannot help you. That's Mark Robinson, ladies and gentlemen, and non-binary pals. He's also said transgenderism, homosexuality, and any of that filth is what he said. During a 2021 sermon, he said there's no reason anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, or any of that filth. He went on to say, yes, he called it filth. He doubled down. If you don't like that he called it filth, come see me and he'll explain it to you. After he being condemned by both the White House and North Carolina Democratic Governor Roy Cooper, Robinson said he would not be bullied into submission and resign, nor would he apologize. He has called LGBTQ plus people maggots and flies. Months after referring to homosexuality as filth, Robinson said in November that year that straight couples are superior to same-sex couples because they can potentially reproduce sexually. I mean, there's no guarantee. There are heterosexual couples who can't reproduce, but I guess the potential is there, so therefore he views them as superior. And then he equated LGBTQ plus folks with what cows leave behind, as well as maggots and flies. He goes, I don't care how much you cut yourself up, drug yourself up, and dress yourself up. You're still either one of two things. He says you're either a man or a woman, meaning he's subscribing to third grade biology and not modern science and biology. And here we go. As a Jewish person, this is what gets me one of the most. I mean, all those other things are terrible, but this one is, you know. He says that Black Panther, the movie, was made by an agnostic Jew and satanic Marxist. Robinson wasn't a fan of the Black Panther movie. He accused the movie of trying to make black audiences more favorable to Jewish people in a Facebook post and used a Yiddish racial slur for black people at the time. He says, it is absolutely amazing to me that people who know so little about their true history and refuse to acknowledge the pure sorry state of their current condition can get so excited about a fictional hero created by an agnostic Jew, Stan Lee, to put a film by a satanic Marxist. How could this trash that was only created to pull the shekels out of your slur park? It's a slur that they use was Shvarza, which is the Yiddish term that basically is a substitute for the N-word to invoke any pride. He is called Michelle Obama, a secretly transgender woman. He calls black Democrats slaves. Half of that black Democrats don't realize they are slaves and don't know who their masters are. The other half don't care. He has said that homosexuality will lead to society's collapse. We have pushed homosexuality over the top. Mark my words, pedophilia is next, which will closely be followed by the end of civilization as we know it. In response to the Pulse massacre, the Pulse nightclub, the deadliest attack on LGBTQ plus people in American history, where 49 people were killed. Robinson still said that being gay is an abominable sin. Homosexuality is still a sin, and he will not join in celebrating gay pride, nor will he fly their sacrilegious flag on his page. Then he goes on with more anti-Semitism, and he says that Jewish bankers are the horsemen of the apocalypse. Shortly after calling reports of the Holocaust hogwash, Robinson went on a podcast of an alleged cult leader in 2019 and endorsed the host's remarks that Jewish bankers are one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The other three, Muslim people, China, and the CIA. That's exactly right. Robinson told the host, it's amazing to me that we live in this age of information where you can go online, you can find all this information. It's not hidden from anybody. He He said that he wouldn't be surprised if the moon landing or 9/11 was fake. He says that Beyonce music has a satanic message. Robinson stands by everything he said. The Republican defended all of his Facebook posts in a 2020 interview with local outlet WRAL, saying, "I don't back up from them a bit." Most recently, Robinson has attempted to distance himself from anti-Semitism by claiming to support Israel, despite all of his comments denigrating Jewish people. He said during an October press conference that there have been Facebook posts that were poorly worded on my part, but there's no anti-Semitism standing here in front of you. Yeah, right. You don't make those comments and then claim to not be an anti-Semite. You don't become a Holocaust denier and then claim that you're not anti-Semitic. So this is why, one of the many, 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 many reasons why we cannot allow the Republicans to gain an inch of power, because they support people like this. And I'm sure that Donald Trump's going to get up there and going to, like, you know, pat Mark Robinson on the back and get up there and campaign with him and have nothing bad to say about him. And he'd be more than happy to get up there and say how wonderful Mark Robinson is and campaign against Josh. Now, he'll be up there and he'll be campaigning right along with him, because he'll just say how wonderful he is. And they'll just tell you how even more horrible Donald Trump is. We cannot let the Republicans gain an inch of power. You cannot let this guy become the governor of North Carolina. You cannot let Donald Trump become the president of these United States again. You cannot let them keep the House. You cannot let them retake the Senate. You have to get out and vote. You may very well be mad at Biden's policies on whatever. It will absolutely be worse under Donald Trump. It will absolutely be worse. Every single time you sit home and you cede power to the Republicans because you're upset that the Democrats aren't perfect for you, you help this country inch closer and closer to fascism, to Gilead, to whatever you want to call it. But we are facing an existential threat. And the signs are all there in front of you. And too many people are burying their heads in the sand and want to punish Biden for short-term harm. There's no short-term harm here. If the Republicans get to gain more power, we're done. And this is just one of many examples of how we will be done if people like this are allowed to maintain and elevate themselves into office. Period. I had to cough that whole time and I fought it off. Wow. Anywho, so there's that. Let's shut that thing down and make and take away that again. So yeah, we've got to deal with that. We've got to deal with people like that in North Carolina. We've got to deal with Donald Trump. We've got to deal with Marjorie Taylor Greene, old large Marge. Have you seen what Marjorie Taylor, you know, remember Marjorie Taylor Greene? Remember, you know, lest you forget, the British media has not forgotten her Jewish space laser comments. They've not been forgotten. So they went ahead and they asked her about the Jewish space laser comments. And this was her, this is her response. That is a congressperson right there telling somebody to go F off. There you go. Classy Marjorie Taylor Greene telling somebody to go F off. Telling a media, because the media reporter was holding her to her own words that she said herself. Now, it's very simple. If you don't want people bringing up the fact that you think that there are Jewish space lasers, here's a hint. Don't tell people that there are Jewish space lasers causing wildfires in California or where have you. But, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks that there are Jewish space lasers, and fortunately, there are still people that are going to call around on it because it's hyper dumbassery that, and it's amazing that she's still allowed to be in office.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Now, speaking of her, she brought up America first. Georgia is trying to create license plates. This is one of those other things that was brought up on the Maddow show. Georgia is trying to create another official license plate that you can get with the American flag in the background. It says Georgia on the top, and it says America first on the bottom. And Republicans are always going to be like, well, what's wrong with America first? What's wrong with saying America first? Why shouldn't we put America first? Well, as a Jewish person, I'll tell you, America first has its roots in anti-Semitism. You had an American first party that was specifically meant to say that we shouldn't be as an Americans should not go send our troops over across the pond over to Europe to go save the Jewish people and warning people that the Jews were going to be the ones that were going to get us into World War II. That's what, you know, I think Charles Lindbergh ultimately said. Furthermore, you didn't just have an America First political party, you had America First Inc. And the founder of America First Inc. patented a wooden stake that was specifically meant to kill us Jewish people, but he used the K word to reference us Jewish people. He literally submitted a patent for this stake, this wooden stake that would be used to murder us, to unalive us, if you will. And this is the slogan that they want to embrace. This is why we refer to what they do as dog whistles, is because they know what they mean, but those terms sound, you know, harmless enough because it doesn't actually say we hate the Jews. It just, you know, it's just if you know the background of it, you know that it really means that they hate the Jews. So you can soon potentially have a license plate if you live in the state of Georgia that uses a slogan that was used to promote anti-Semitic hate. And anti-Semitism itself is a word that was thought up of by Germans who, when they originally were calling themselves, they weren't originally calling themselves anti-Semites. They were originally calling themselves Jew haters. They literally said the word Jew haters. And they're like, well, maybe this is not good for our brand. Maybe this doesn't make us sound, you know, maybe this isn't catchy enough. Maybe this is going to drive people away because if we call ourselves Jew haters, it really doesn't sound like, you know, it's not going to bring people in well enough. Let's call ourselves anti-Semites. This is why when people, so you'll have people who argue that, you know, like Hamas, for example, is anti-Semitic because they hate Jews. Well, how can they be anti-Semitic? Aren't they Semitic people? Semitic languages are the languages that are spoken over there. No, the word anti-Semite has a specific meaning, which specifically means anti-Jew. It doesn't mean, and just like the Patriot Act has nothing to do with patriotism, anti-Semitic specifically means anti-Jew. And the Republican, the modern-day Republican Party is wrapping itself up in anti-Semitism. And they'll claim, oh, but we love Israel. No, you love Israel because Israel is bombing the hell out of Gaza. That's why you love Israel. You love Israel because you hate Arab people more than you hate Jews. So you're willing to tolerate Jews to a point. And in order for a Christian prophecy to come true, you need more Jews over there. And, well, if you're going to have more Jews over there, that means less Jews over here in your demented minds. So therefore, it's probably better for the anti-Semites to have a Jewish state and then try and force all the Jewish people to be over there. So, Wes, are Jews Arabs? No, Jews are not Arabs, but that doesn't matter because the term that was thought up of by the people who created the word anti-Semitism or anti-Semite was specifically meant to talk about Jewish people. Nothing else. Thank you for the sub, MC Jet. Donna, oh, what the hell did the North Carolina Republicans nominate for governor? That thing has no place in North Carolina. Well, I mean, he was lieutenant governor, so he was good enough, I guess, right? Maybe they didn't know at the time, but he sure has outed himself since then that he absolutely is a clear anti-Semite, anti-science, anti-gay, anti-LGBTQ, wackadoodle nut job. And the only good thing about him being in the governor's race is that you now have a Holocaust denier against a Jewish person. So to me being a little bit optimistic here, regardless, the state of North Carolina did vote for Obama once. Now, I think the state of North Carolina, when they voted for Obama, it was more because of the Senate race. I think Obama rode the coattails of the senator, not vice versa. Usually it's the senator who's riding the coattails of the president. But I think in the North Carolina race in 2008, I think it was a little bit of vice versa. Although it might have had something to do with Obama targeting southern states and putting an effort in southern states and states that Democrats usually don't win. And maybe that helped a little bit. But you also had I think it was Elizabeth Dole, who was running a poor campaign and a very unpopular against the Democrat. And so I think Obama was able to take advantage of that a bit. But when you have a Holocaust denier against a Jewish person, it's going to be very interesting to see how many people are going to come out and vote for the Holocaust denier against a Jewish person. I'm sure there will be plenty who do so. But who's going to hitch that wagon? It'll be very interesting to see who hitches that wagon, too. Oh, and if Donald Trump hitches that wagon, Biden better jump on that one. He better be like, look at what's happening in North Carolina. You have a Holocaust denier running against a Jewish person for governor, and Donald Trump backs the Holocaust denier, and this is the person you want for president. So, but then what happens? So if Donald Trump doesn't do it, then is Donald Trump just then going to cede North Carolina because he's not going to back the governor who's running? It's an interesting catch 22, 23 Magoo, as Hal said earlier. So. West and DNA tests, Jews and Palestinians share identical genetics. Yeah, there's even Ashkenazi Jews in DNA tests can have genetic markers that can trace themselves back to the Israeli region. So there's that. John McClure, Hitler was inspired by the writings of Ford, who was an extreme Jew hater, yes. Also, the Nazis, if you watch one of the other MSNBC specials, the Nazis during were very intrigued by American politics because they were very confused because they saw this Constitution, the American document of the Constitution, which supposedly guaranteed rights to people, which is supposed to guarantee rights to black people. But then they're like, but how are they managing to get away with all of the crap they get away with in the South? If they're supposedly guaranteeing rights to everybody, equal justice under the law or whatever, how, since the passage of the 14th Amendment, are they getting away with this maltreatment of black people in the South still since slavery? So they sent one of their lawyers from Germany over to the South to kind of figure out what the hell is going on. And a lot of Germany's laws that they created were based off of some of the Southern laws. And they used the South as an example as to how they could better discriminate against Jewish people, looking at how the South discriminated against black people. You know.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. MC Jed, it's a time where we can't give up. We need to take our country back unironically. That is very true. And here's the thing. Like, I've talked about this on the show before. When it comes to, like, fighting against the assault on body autonomy, fighting against, like, you know, all of the craziness on IVF, all the craziness on abortion, all the craziness on LGBTQA rights, on the craziness of all that other stuff, stuff that basically affects other people. I typically have the energy to make that fight, to use my voice to amplify the arguments of others and to shout out and to argue against the people who are fighting to harm others who are more marginalized than myself in those areas. And sometimes even when it comes to the people who are the, you know, the fat shamers, I typically can deal with that too because they have a thick skin, literally and figuratively. But when it comes to, like, the issues of dealing with Judaism, especially recently, I've been having a very tough time mustering the energy to try and defend my basic right to exist. Because you have people out there who are making these statements, who are making these arguments that are, like, justifying Hamas. Like, there are statements out there that there was some tweet out there that basically tried to say, oh, well, because there was a report over the weekend that Israel agreed in principle to ceasefire and Hamas did not. And Hamas said something. It was like, no, Hamas said something about, you know, and some post or some meme or some tweet or something to that effect was basically saying that Hamas wanted a better deal that would protect basic civil human rights or something like that. And that Israel then would reject that or something like that. And I'm like, what? Hamas doesn't give a crap about basic human rights? Are you kidding me? Don't try and humanize Hamas. Hamas was created specifically with the intent to try and to not just free Palestinian people. That's not their intent. Their intent is to unalive Jews. It was to ethnically cleanse Jewish people from the entire area, from the river to the sea. That's their intent. That's the reason why Hamas was created. Not to create an independent state of Palestine so that the Palestinians wouldn't have to live under Israeli rule. Not to have a two-state solution, but to murder Jews. That's their purpose. To try and humanize them, to try and make them into something that they're not, is something that I can't tolerate. And it becomes very tiring having to try and repeat this to individuals who, you know, don't want to see that, who want to justify Hamas's actions for whatever reason. And it's just come out today not that it was first reported today, but the UN, a UN specialist basically came forward today and was basically like, after all the research that they've done, they have basically concluded that, yes, in fact, when Hamas attacked on 10/7, they did, in fact, sexually assault, commit crimes of sexual violence against the victims of 10/7, and they have been continuing to do so against the hostages as well. They believe that they're still sexually abusing and or raping the hostages as they're currently being held. Some of them that have been returned have not been able to be spoken with because they're dealing with the traumas of their captivity. And the people who would normally, as I would tell you, that when people come forward and talk about their being victims of sexual violence, normally the people that would tell you that you should listen to the people who are coming forward to try and tell you about them being victims of sexual violence, normally, you know, those people say, look, you need to listen to them. You need to let them tell their stories. But some of these people are not believing the people coming forward and telling their truths. And it's bizarre that they're not trusting these people that are coming forward and saying, look, this is what happened to these. This is what happened to me. How can you square that circle? How can you say you should believe the people that come forward and listen to them and trust their stories, except if they're Israeli? F that. I mean, look, I've said this in many posts that, you know, the idea that Hamas believes in basic human dignity and basic human rights is just about as laughable as the idea that Netanyahu believes in basic human dignity and basic human rights. Netanyahu and Hamas are in a toxic symbiotic relationship that relies on each other for their own mutual coexistence. Netanyahu relies on the threat of Hamas in order to justify his being elected. Hamas relies on the threat of Netanyahu for them to consistently maintain power. And Netanyahu was apparently willing to let Jewish people die on 10/7 in order to keep that happening, because Netanyahu, it was reported that they knew that the attack was coming. And Hamas is willing to allow more Palestinians to die because they don't care. They don't want a ceasefire. They would rather have more Palestinians die and use that in their cause against Israelis. And when they say Israelis, they mean Jews. So let's see. Oh, that's an interesting question, Chris. Chris, we'll get to you in a second. Let's see, what did Diane say? I think I missed something that Diane said. Let's see, Adolf Hitler brings up the first they came for the socialists, and that's a good thing to always repeat. First they came for the socialists, I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Yep. I think I missed something from here that somebody responded to, and I don't know what. Solomon had 700 concubines legal, I guess. Yes, 300 wives and like 600 concubines, I think. So that was like 900. Imagine having to deal with all of that. Like, what, you get to one every, you get to each person. If you do one a day, that's like once every 3 years. That's crazy. Do-do-do-do-do. Like, I might not be that sexy, but I'm a great cook. Never know. Some people's love language is food, right? So because this is a trivial question, but does anyone know how to complain when a store is trying to rip you off? The promo price for three hurricanes is $5.99, while the single price is $1.89 each. When you get three singles, they charge you the higher promo price. Yeah, that's really weird. Just buy two and then do two separate orders. Buy one and then buy two and then buy the other one. Are you sure they're the same size? That is an interesting question. But the, whatchamacallit, the, there's one of the games that I play has some of the stores, like you can buy packs of cards or you can buy like an entire box of cards, which has 24 packs. And if you want to buy the entire box of cards, they will charge you more for the box of cards than they'll charge you for the each individual pack. And the reason for that is because because you're buying so much, they're charging you a premium to be able to get that many at a particular time. Whereas if you only buy like, you know, the small number, if you only buy like two packs or so, they'll let you buy like the two packs instead of like the whole bunch. Basically, it's charging a premium. But anyway, dude, big hook. In Canada, if the scan price doesn't match the shelf price, you get the item for free. Used to be. There was a store down here where they had something called Fresh or Free. Whereas if you found something on the rack that was expired, that you would get another item that wasn't expired for free. And they used to have this salmon dip, and it was delicious, this big salmon dip, and each one was like maybe $10 a pop, but it was delicious. But there would always be salmon dips that were expired. They would never clear them. So I would be like, we'd go to the store, and I would be like, well, here's three of these that are expired, and here's three of these that are not. So I would like to get these for free. And we would get a ton of stuff. And there would be people who would just go walk around the store and spend like an hour on the store just looking for stuff that was expired and then get all the stuff and then just get free food. Like, I didn't have that amount of time to go just try and get all of my groceries for free. But there were people who would get all of their groceries for free. They eventually stopped the promotion. They eventually stopped doing it. I guess they figured they were losing too much money. But, I mean, I personally just loved getting the dips for free, and occasionally I'd find something else every once in a while that was also not fresh, but I wouldn't go specifically hunting aisle for aisle trying to find things that were expired. But Chris, they've packaged three packs for $5.99, but the single price is $1.89, so I started buying the singles and still got charged the higher price. I mean, at that point, you know, maybe call the – either refer them to the Better Business Bureau and or refer them to – there might be a governmental agency that might be in charge of that might be able to look into that. Maybe, like, there might be, like, a regulatory agency in local municipality that you're in that might deal with that sort of thing. Maybe contact a council person or something to say that you're being overcharged for items and then they're charging you more than the marked price. Because I would basically say, look, it's marked this and I want to be charged this. And I would ask, I would go full Karen at that point. Cause you know, sometimes I act stereotypically. But yeah, there are times where I'll look at the unit prices and I'll be like, I was making chocolate chip cookies or something and I saw the unit price of like two 12-ounce packs of chocolate chips. And I was like, okay, if I get two 12-ounce packs of chocolate chips, they're this amount of money. But then the 24-ounce pack of chocolate chips was like a dime more than the combine of the 212s. So let me just get the 212s. But I never had the issue where then the store tried to charge me more money for it. But yet there, I mean, each state laws are different on how they treat different things. Municipalities might have different laws about how they treat different things. I would first ask for the manager. I would start there first. I'd be like, look, it's marked this. You're overcharging me. And then go from there and elevate it from that point. If they're still being, it might even go to the point where we'd be like, look, I don't know how convenient it is to go somewhere else, but like, if you're going to keep overcharging me, I'm going to go somewhere else because you keep saying that the price is X and it's Y. That's bait and switch. And bait and switch is typically illegal. So the Agoff Twitler, there are people in Gaza and Israel as well as Russia and America who do not want peace because the violence gains recruitment. And that's true. Well, I mean, that's why Netanyahu doesn't want peace. Netanyahu didn't react. Netanyahu knew that he had problems politically, criminally, or whatever, and he knew that this attack was coming, and he didn't stop it because he knew, in my opinion at least, that it was going to benefit him politically to have a war. So he was willing to put the lives of Israelis at risk to go to react to an attack, because that was better for him to react to the attack than it was for him to stop the attack. Because if you stop the attack, there's no way for anybody to have seen just how bad the attack might have been. But if you let the attack happen and the attack happens and it's terrible, then that gives you a reason to go now smash Hamas. And it allows, and then that, you know, then you use your political capital to distract everybody from your current issues by creating a war. War is good for business, so to speak. So then again, you know, the Ukrainian war, one of the things that's, you know, helping out the Ukrainians has a side benefit to the American people, that when we manufacture weapons that we ship over there, when we manufacture bullets and ammunition that we ship over there, that creates American jobs. But I'm not saying that we should help Ukraine simply to help American jobs. I'm just saying it's an added side effect. That's a bonus. We should help Ukraine, A, because Putin's a monster, and B, because we promised Ukraine way back in the day when we took their nuclear weapons away once they split from the Soviet republics. We said, hey, if you give up your nuclear weapons, we will defend you if Russia ever gets froggy. Russia got froggy, and now we're reneging on that deal that we made with them. We need to keep that deal that we made with them, and therefore we need to protect them or help them defend themselves against the Soviet aggression. And what's funny, I don't know if it's funny or not, but I would make it a hypocrite of the week if I could find the absolute clip of it doing so. But in looking back at my Facebook memories, just the other day, I saw some post where I was talking about the issue when Putin invaded Crimea when Obama was president, and Republicans back then were critical because Obama did not take a strong enough of a stance against Putin. That's right. When Obama was president and Putin invaded Crimea, the Republicans back then wanted us to poke the bear. They wanted us to take a strong stance against Russia and help Ukraine. But now that Ukraine wants to defend themselves and are asking for our help, the Republicans have now had a change of heart. Now, because again, conservatism or hypocrisy is a conservative prerequisite. Wagner's group, Nazi mercenaries, were in Gaza 2 weeks before October 7th, threatening Hamas. Not surprised. Well, because part of the problem is Donald Trump. Donald Trump shared Israeli intelligence with Russia, who then shared it with Iran, who then shared it with Hamas. Donald Trump's loose lips were partially responsible for why Israel was able to be attacked successfully in the first place. But yet Netanyahu's going to love, will love if Donald Trump gets reelected again. Because they are two peas of a very similar pod. So there you go. Again, the Republicans don't seem to have a problem with Trump's loose lips when, if anybody else did it, you know, butter emails, Hillary Clinton supposedly mishandled the classified information with her email servers, even though there's no proof that it got to anybody in particular that it shouldn't have gotten to, and they want to punish her. But now that there's proof that Donald Trump showed this information to people that was classified that he shouldn't have been showing it to, he admitted that he was showing it to people that he shouldn't have been showing it. It was on tape. It was recorded that he was showing this information to people that he could have declassified it, but he didn't. So he was showing classified information to people who did not have clearance to see this information. And the Republicans don't give two shits. They don't care. Well, yeah, of course, his move in the embassy not only provoked, you know, the Palestinians over there, provoked, you know, the Arab world, he did it in such a way that he didn't even get anything for it. He didn't get any concessions from Israel for it. Like, so-called art of the deal gave away the cow for free. Why on earth would you agree to move the embassy to Israel, in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and not get anything in return for it? Even if you believe that Jerusalem is the true and real capital of the state of Israel. Even if you want to recognize that. You do it in a manner that gets you something. You do it in a manner that helps you gain peace in the region. You say, okay, well, you're going to do this, but you're going to get, if we move our embassy to Jerusalem, then guess what? You're going to have to do X, Y, and Z for the Palestinians and to make sure that there's a lasting peace here. But nope, the so-called art of the deal guy fell through on that one too. Because, you know, that's what he does. Biden could move it. Oh, of course he could move it back, but at this point, why? Chris, Netanyahu is Israel's Trump. Yeah, that is true. Jolie, my daughter in the car seat, she was little. She said, don't litter. That's cute. Excuse me. Yeah, the cough is better, but it's not still not as great as it was, or still not, it's not as bad as it was, but it's still not as great as it could be, I guess, so to speak. Anyway, so that was it. Big old Super Tuesday. Again, nothing happened that we're surprised about at the big level. You know, this is like the first time since, what was it, 1912? That we have an incumbent president going up against a former president, because that doesn't happen very often. And One of the things that though that I would have to say that if I'm going to be critical of the Biden administration about is just that he needs to talk more about the good things he's done about student loans. And maybe we'll see tomorrow. Now, I have done honey for a while, for the first part, well, like when I initially came home, actually even when I was on the cruise, from like the last day on the cruise through like the week and a half that I was home, I went through a whole lot of honey. Like when I was sitting here drinking the big tea, the big hot tea, I had, even then, that whole week beforehand when I didn't have the podcast, I was downing hot tea and lemon and honey. So there was lots of stuff. There was lots of stuff with that. So I, you know, I've definitely had a lot of honey. So anyway, but the one thing that, again, I would urge the Biden administration, if I had my druthers, I would urge the Biden administration to get out there, talk about student loans more often. Get out there, talk about all of the accomplishments that y'all have done. Now, maybe he'll do it tomorrow. It may very well be that, I don't know, it's possible, I have plans tomorrow night. So I'm probably going to watch a later viewing of the State of the Union. If I feel up to it, so this is I guess, because I'm probably going to end the show soon, because again, I still want to rest my vocal cords, or want to rest my throat. Don't want to talk too long. Still getting better, so to speak. But just to let y'all know, I may very well, A, tomorrow night as a late show, if I'm up to it, I may do a response video, like sort of a live response, but late to the State of the Union. We'll see. We'll see how I feel. If I'm too tired, I might not, but just put on your notifications on the channel, set your notifications to say just when I go live. And if I do go live, you'll see me go live, and there you go. The other announcement that I have to make is that you will see me, if you watch Hal in the afternoons or in the mornings, I guess, it's the morning Hal show. For me, it's the early afternoon because it'll be, I think, noon or 1 o'clock. I should be on Hal's show Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, I think. Hey, Rose. I should be on Hal's show Friday. So if you want extra Liberal Dan this week, during my lunch break, I'll be doing Hal's show on Friday. I think she said one, I think Andrea said one, but that may be one Eastern. So maybe it's noon Pacific, or I mean, not noon Pacific, I'm noon Central time. So yeah, so I'll be on Hal's show on Friday at some point. So cool. So you'll get extra Liberal Dan this week. You might get two doses of extra Liberal Dan this week. We'll see. But yeah, just keep your subscription or keep your notifications on. Tap that notification button to let you know that I'm going to be live. Remember, again, to, you know, use your Amazon Prime over on Twitch if you haven't done so yet, twitch.tv/LiberalDanRadio. Remember to subscribe here if you're not subscribed yet. Like the video here if you haven't liked it yet. Like videos, comment videos, etc. Say hello to Rosie Posies, who likes to join me sometimes for my podcasts. She's a little late today, but, you know, it is what it is. It's very strange because normally orange cats are boys, but she's a girl. So we got an interesting one, and she's definitely special. So, yes, you like coming on Snuggling sometimes, huh? Yeah. Anyway, so this is the end of today's episode of Liberal Dan Radio Talks About This Right. I may come on tomorrow night again. It'll probably be late. It'll probably be like after 10 my time or so if I do come on. But if I don't, then, I mean, I'm not promising anything, but then I'll be on Friday for Hal. So watch Hal Show Friday afternoon. If you're not already planning on doing so, do that. And then if you're not, otherwise, I'll be back Monday, 8 p.m. Central, normal time, liberaldanradio.com, twitch.tv/liberaldanradio as well. So the next time I see you, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left and right.